So in Deuteronomy 26, the chapter begins by saying, bring a basket of first fruits to give to the Lord. This is in keeping with the basic feast of first fruits, which was given to us in Leviticus 23. And there is the procedure there for the feast of first fruits. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give to you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And you shall offer on that day, when you wave the sheaf, a male lamb of the first year without blemish as a burnt offering to the Lord. Its grain offering shall be 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil, an offering made by fire to the Lord for a sweet aroma, and its drink offering shall be of wine 1/4 of a hin. You shall eat neither bread nor parched grain nor fresh grain until the same day that you have brought an offering to your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generation in all your dwellings. Now we know this was a type of Jesus Christ, and we know that on Resurrection Day, on the Feast of First Fruits Day, Jesus was resurrected from the dead and has become our first fruit, risen from the dead forever. So now we have not only being thankful for the promised land and the grain and the produce and the food and all the good things that the Lord gives us, as the children of Israel were told here in the Old Covenant to give thanks, but we have the New Covenant with Jesus Christ as our first fruit forever also to be giving thanks for. And just think of the implications of that and how important that is. But in Deuteronomy 26, verse 5 gives them their starting point. And you shall answer and say before the Lord your God, my father was a Syrian, about to perish. And he went down to Egypt and dwelt there, few in number, and there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. So we're talking here about Jacob. Jacob spent about 20 years in Syria before he came back to Israel, and yes, he was endangered. He was endangered by Laban, he was endangered by Esau, and he was endangered by the famine in the land of Israel. So they're being reminded here, hey, you didn't come in to Egypt, a big, powerful nation. You came in really weak. You didn't even come in as Jews, really. You came in as Syrians, because Abraham really wasn't of Israel yet. He didn't really own any property there except the grave that he bought for him and his wife. But to begin with, you started out small, but I brought you in and you became great. Verse 6, but the Egyptians mistreated us, afflicted us, and laid hard bondage on us. Then we cried out to the Lord of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. You know, the whole scene there, even in Exodus 3, where God is calling Moses to deliver the children of Israel from Egypt, I just love it, where he says, I have heard, I know, and I will deliver. Now that promise to the nation of Israel is the same promise for you and for me, really. Whatever you're going through now, he sees, he hears, he knows, and he will deliver. Now the question is, the afflictions you're going through, the troubles you're going through, some of them are on your own making. And you're going to have to work through those, because they aren't going to necessarily, the consequences of those don't necessarily evaporate overnight, but he will lead you through that. But the consequences are the afflictions that he gives you. Typically what we do is say, Lord, take this away, take this away, take this away. But I don't think that's quite the right prayer. I think the right prayer really is, Lord, what do you want me to learn from this affliction? And the sooner I learn the lesson, the sooner I'll pass the test, and the sooner I'll move on to the next one. Because he says, as we read in Psalm 119, I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right, and that in your faithfulness you have afflicted me. So he afflicts us because of his faithfulness of wanting us to change, or wanting us to do something that we aren't doing, to get his attention or whatever. So here we see then that they cried out to the Lord when they were in Egypt. And in verse 8, so the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm, with great terror, with signs and wonders. And verse 9, he has brought us into this place and has given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which you, O Lord, have given me. Then you shall set it before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. So you shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given to you and your house, you and the Levite and the stranger who is among you. When you have finished laying aside all the tithe of your increase in the third year, the year of tithing, and have given it to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, so that you may eat within your gates and be filled, then you shall say before the Lord your God, I have removed the holy tithe from my house, and also have given them to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, according to all your commandments, which you have commanded me. I have not transgressed your commandments, nor have I forgotten them. I have not eaten any of it when in mourning, nor have I removed any of it for an unclean use, nor given any of it for the dead. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord my God, and have done according to all you have commanded me. Look down from your holy habitation from heaven, and bless your people Israel and the land which you have given us, just as you swore to your fathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. So how thankful are you? How grateful are you to the Lord for what he has done, is doing, and will do? One of the things that's pretty easy in today's living, it seems to me, is to pay a little attention to the income you get, because that still hasn't changed over the years. We still get paid for work. And do you really look at your money as that of the Lord, or do you look at it as your own? I can tell you from personal experience, I didn't tithe for 50 years, and I was always in debt. Didn't matter how much money I made, I always spent more. And then the last 27 years, I've been tithing, and what a difference it is. And I don't know why it works, but it works. And if you treat everything you have as the Lord's, and when you spend anything, you decide, Lord, is this what you want to spend or not? You're thinking it's his. And he blesses that. He really does. So I'm not saying tithe to get blessed, but I'm saying tithe to bless the Lord for what he has given you. And that's one way to do it. It's not the only way. There's a whole lot of things you can tithe at. But just ask yourself, how thankful am I? And how is my life actually demonstrating my thankfulness to the Lord? Father, we thank you for the study today on giving you the first fruits that we have, on being aware that all things come from you, and we're to give you thanks. We're to be grateful children, Lord. You've given us everything. You haven't held anything back. Wretched sinners, but yet saved by grace, with the promise of being with you eternally, in your presence forevermore. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, how can we go an hour, a minute, without telling somebody about how awesome you are? And Lord, almost everybody, not almost, but many do not know you. And Lord, the world is rapidly moving toward a demonic possession, it would seem. And yet we need to pray. We need to pray. And we need to just be aware of Psalm 2 as an example. Why do the heathen rage and the kings of the earth plot a vain thing? Coming against you and your anointed, break the bonds, they say. And Lord, how we desperately need you, how we need you in this land, how we need you in our church, how we need you in our lives. So Lord, here we are this morning just to bow down before you and to respond in this little group as you would lead us in prayer by your Spirit. So thank you, Lord. Lead us now in the precious, mighty name of Jesus by your Spirit. Amen.